Welcome to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We are Flipper, the Family Law Practitioners Association of Queensland. Family law is a wonderfully rewarding career, but is not without its challenges. Join us as we explore the issues that impact on the practice and well-being of family law practitioners. We hope our episodes will not only inform and inspire you, but encourage you to reach your potential. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome. I'm Matt Taylor, and this is the first in a recurring segment I'm calling Things I Wish I Knew, in which I bring together a senior member of the profession with a comparatively less experienced practitioner and invite them to chat. Today, I'm joined by solicitor, parenting coordinator, and long-term Flipper member Sarah Cleland, and her Padawan from Life Law Solutions, Tanisha Woods. Tanisha, shall we start with Woods?
Thank you, Matt. It's lovely to be here. Sarah, I thought about some of the things that I wanted to hear from you, and I would love to hear what have been the highlights in your career to date.
So, hi, Matt. Hi, Tanisha. So this is my 25th-ish year.
Wow.
In practice. So I started in at the end of 96. I got my first job and went from there. In terms of highlights, including today, sitting here with Matt and yourself, it's been, you wouldn't say like peaks and troughs, but it's been a journey, but an upward one, not upward in a difficult way, but upward as in things just get better and better.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think, honestly, moving out to Sandgate, so I first started around the Mount Gravatt area. I think finding my space in Sandgate was a highlight. And I know one of the things we talked about before we started recording is, you know, suburban practice versus city practice.
Mm-hmm.
I think finding a space, irrespective of what area of law you work in, finding a space you feel really comfortable working in, a community you enjoy working in. So that's probably one of my things is feeling comfortable and happy in a sense of community in the area that I'm going to be working in.
Yeah.
I think coming into family law, again, not a highlight as in I woke up one day and said I love family law, but moving, I was in a firm where I was doing personal injury work out here at Sandgate, and Nicola DiMuzio, that I think I know Matt knows, and she's a very senior practitioner, she was the family lawyer in the firm I was working for out here in Sandgate, and Nicola moved on to another firm, and I asked if I could take on the family law work, and my boss at the time said yes. And I think, well, I haven't looked back, and I went into that in about 2001, 2002, and I haven't looked back. I think there's moments in time when you meet people too that change your thinking or really inspire you. I went to a function with Rob Grant back in, again, around that 01, 02, 03. I think Rob was transitioning out of private practice around then from memory and was moving into mediation, which is how most of us know Rob. And he was also an ICL back in those days, which, again, Matt would probably remember. I had a conversation, you know, sort of at drinks, and Rob talked then about mediation, ICL work. And that was, I remember, a real light bulb for me. And I mm-hmm. thought that's going to be something, knowing my personality type, that would really suit me. There was a joke at uni. We did placement when I was at uni at Caxton Legal Centre for about 6 weeks. And we all got awards at the end for various things. And I still remember it. Mine was, you'll be the lawyer that wears her heart on her sleeve. And I didn't really get it. And I thought, what do you all know that I don't? And isn't that curious? And that was in about 1995. And I think that probably is how I've ended up being, but I didn't realise it. So conversations like that, and I actually first did my mediation training, then back in 03, I did my ICL training back in 03. So they were highlights, and I found more and more I was finding my happy space, my comfortable space, the space that I work in well. Do you know the other thing that might seem bizarre is I enjoy walking into the family court. I think because I've been walking into that court since 1997, because I was sent on my first day of articles, I don't know why, but something about that space has always made me feel really comfortable. Maybe I shouldn't say that, because not every day, because there's cases, I'm sure that none of us, yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that's the people warmth. So they've been highlights, and of course setting up my own practice, which I set up in 2010, was easier than I thought. Had some struggles, COVID, just getting used to running a business, because lawyers aren't traditionally business trained. And so we're lawyers who then set up businesses and, but that was in 2010. And now I just turned 50, and I think I just had my 25th year of practice. I'm in a very different space and a different mindset. I'm really proud of this firm. I'm really proud of my staff. So there's just some of the highlights for me.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing.
For you, so you are, I guess, at the start. You're a couple of years in to practice. Yes,
this will be my fourth year.
So what has it been like from you in terms of what you thought at university expectations to coming in and joining Life Law?
Yeah, I was thinking about this last night, actually, and family law was something that was always on my radar as something that I wanted to do, even back from when I was at high school. I knew that family law was something that I was absolutely going to do. So I kind of planned for that, and I always knew as well that I was interested in people and human behavior and what makes people behave the way that they do and things like that. So I went to uni and I studied a Bachelor of Law and Social Science, which I really loved. And so I think that was the perfect, I guess, combination of at the time I didn't realize it, but the two combinations of the knowledge and skills that you'd need to be able to learn to be able to practice as a family lawyer. And because I did, I majored as part of my social science degree in criminology, I didn't realize at the time how relevant that would be to family law. So I think that it was a really, you know, family law, there's an intersection between mental health, the criminal justice system, domestic and family violence, all of those sorts of things. And it's inherently a practice that is human oriented. So I guess family law for me hasn't been necessarily different, surprisingly, to what I expected that it would be. I actually really loved the subject at uni, and that was my best subject. So that was good for me in the sense that, you know, I got that confirmation from early on that this is what I wanted to be doing. And then I did some placements during uni at family law firms, which I really, really liked. But in terms of the practice of family law, I think something that I wasn't necessarily prepared for, and I don't know that you can ever be prepared until you actually do it, is, you know, managing clients' expectations and the difficulties that, you know, come with managing files, which is not something that you get experience with at university. It's very different university because you're focused on, you know, reading cases and summarizing cases and understanding what the law says. But my experience has been in family law that, you know, the more experience that you have practicing in family law, it seems to just come more naturally, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily too different to what I initially thought it was going to be, which is good. Another question for you, Sarah. What would you say to someone at my stage in their career? So they're about 4 years out. What would you say they should be focusing on now to become a better family lawyer?
Mm-hmm. For me, I think one is humility. Always be humble. I'm very big on typically lawyers are intelligent. I would have thought did well at school.
You'd hope so.
Got into university, and many lawyers, particularly in our field, you know, have those sort of confident personalities, articulate, well-spoken often. But in those things, yeah, be confident in yourself, be confident in your knowledge base, but always balance that with be humble. That's a really important one for me. When you're walking into a courtroom, it's always being open to learning, listening. Listen to your peers, listen to your judges, listen to your senior practitioners, listen to the practitioner that's on the other side. If you're corresponding with them or talking to them on the phone, listen to your client.
Yeah.
So humility is huge. If we're not humble, we will fall. There's that expression, isn't it? Pride goeth before a fall. It is about being open-minded. It is about acceptance of I might make a mistake, and you might make a mistake. You will make a mistake, but the greater mistake is not learning from it. So, listen to what you're being told, adapt, change, and keep learning. So, learning in the form of, as I said, from our judges, from our peers, but also going along genuinely to whether it's your conferences or your CLEs. We have so many resources, like our family law book, CCH, whatever resources all of us do. So explore those. I think it's, to me, it wasn't about my own career building. It was about improving myself as a lawyer, being the best lawyer I could be through those sorts of things that I was talking to you about. And then I think, however you measure success, but career then follows. If you are a reasonable person, a sensible person, an honest person, you're a good lawyer in the sense that you know your topic, you know your field. We're talking about family law, yeah. So you know your law, you know your case law, you know your judge, you know your client. It's those strengths. You establish that groundwork first. And then people will see, and then your career can follow, and you can make choices. You can seek out, there might be some firms that suit you better than others, or some career paths that suit you better than others, whether you want to take a path through to the judiciary, you know, or take a path through to climbing through to associate or partner level in particular firms. Success, I think, is in this field is a very personal thing. Success for me is being a reasonable lawyer, you know, being a person that people trust, being a person that I can, I know people can call me and ask me questions. I have colleagues that I can call, you know, raising my children is a, that's not a, but, you know, that's part of what I see as success. So, but everyone has their own idea of what success looks like. But in this space, in the family law space, I think the greatest success is you went in, you honestly did the best job you could. You left your ego at the door. So it wasn't about you and, you know, look at me and, you know, that shiny stuff. It's about did you do the best that you could by your client? And for me, that means that open-mindedness, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I answered your question.
That is a beautiful answer to my question. Thank you.
So in terms of you asked me about sort of success and career path, when you go into a firm or when you're speaking to a senior lawyer, what are you hoping, what are you looking for from them, or is there something you're missing from us, you know, in terms of employers or, is there something you're looking for a mentor going in?
Absolutely. And I've been incredibly lucky where I am at Life Law to have a number of mentors who have really taken me under their wing, and it's absolutely a credit to them that I am the lawyer that I am today because of, you know, the mentorship that I have received so far in my career. I've also, I think, been really, I guess, benefited by the Sunshine Coast legal community mm-hmm. because it is quite a close-knit community, and so the family law fraternity up there is very collegiate. And so not only have I had the benefit of being mentored within my own firm, there are a number of other practitioners on the Sunshine Coast. And I can say now in Brisbane, as I've been practicing more so in matters down here, that my, I guess, overwhelming experience has been that practitioners are more than happy to, you know, pick up the phone and assist me, particularly in matters where there's an independent children's lawyer as well. I suppose what people of my level are looking for is absolutely that support from their superior, and being able to walk through a matter with someone. From my experience, you know, it can be very daunting when you're doing something for the first time. And I'm very conscious that at all times I'm doing the right thing by my client and providing them with the right advice. So having someone to be a sounding board and having someone to debrief with, I think, is very important. And not a lot of people, I unfortunately think, don't get that. I know a number of people who I graduated with who unfortunately have had quite bad experiences at not just one law firm but multiple law firms, and so I think that's really important. And, you know, I guess it's also being able to seek out people who you know, you think would be a good fit for you as well. I think the other thing that people of my skill level are looking for is having culture within a firm. You know, it's not all just about the billing. You know, there's an importance on coming together as a team and working together collectively towards a goal. I think that's really important, and I think that's something that my firm does quite well, in the sense that we have two different offices, but it doesn't feel like we're separated in a sense, because we, you know, we're in constant communication with each other, and we do a number of team days and things like that. So I think that's really, really important. You want to feel like you're connected to what you're doing. You spend so much time at work. So it's important that you feel, you know, connected to the other members of your team. So my last question to you, Sarah, is, and this is something that I've been grappling with recently. I go through weeks where I feel very confident in what I'm doing, and I think to myself, yeah, today was a good day, and I, you know, gave some really good advice to a client and I feel like I helped them. But then there are other weeks where I feel like I'm doing not a great job. And so my question to you is, do you ever get to a stage where you just feel like you have the level of experience and knowledge that you are a good lawyer, and, you know, you don't have those days where you second guess yourself?
I'd like to say no, but the answer is it's, I don't know when that comes. I can only speak for myself, but and my friendship group within the fraternity, but I know that's probably not the answer you were hoping for. It is often, and maybe it should be, because maybe we should always rethink what we're doing. You know, sometimes we often say, am I overthinking this? And that's why I say, well, that's the benefit of having counsel that you can pick up, to have relationships, good relationships with some counsel that you can pick up the phone and just brainstorm with, you know, shoot the breeze. Can I throw something at you? Can I bounce this off you? Have colleagues that you can go to dinner with and just say, I just need to talk. I just need to vent. But it's maybe that is all part of that constant learning and keeping updated. But no, I don't think there's ever a day that you just say I've got this, because maybe that's the day that you've missed something and you make a mistake.
So there you have it, folks. Find a space and a community you want to be part of. Always look to be learning, and remember that at the end of the day, you are your own judge of your success. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. We confirm that the information we discussed today was just that, information for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not specific advice. If something discussed has you considering whether you should take steps, it is important to make sure you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed, whether that be legal, financial, accounting, medical, or other advice. Please reach out to Flipper if there's another topic you'd like explored, and if you know someone who might benefit from the show, remember to tell them about it. Thank you for listening.